नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 6, entitled Purusha Shukta Confirmed, text number 11. Avyakta rasa sidunam bhutanam nidanasya cha udarang viritang pungso Hridayam manasa padam abhyakta rasa sidunam abhyakta rasa sidunam bhutanam nidhanasya cha bhutanam nidhanasya cha udarang viratang bhungso Udaram viratam pungso Hridayam manasakparam Hridayam manasakparam Avyakta rasa sindunam Bhutanam nidhanasya cha Udaram viratam pungso Hridayam manasakparam Ladies, Udaram Viritang Pungso Ladies, Yaktarasa Sindunam Bhutanam nindanasya cha Udaram viratang pungso Hridaya manasakpadam Yakta rasa sindunam Bhutanam nindanasya cha Udaram viratang pungso Hridaya manasakpadam avyakta, the impersonal feature, rasa sindunam, of the seas and oceans of water, bhutanam, of those who take birth in the material world, nidanasya, of the annihilation, cha, also, udaram, his belly, viritam, is known by the intelligent class of men, Pungsa of the great personality. Vidayam, the heart. Manasa of the subtle body. Padam, the place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Gita. The impersonal feature of the Lord is the abode of great oceans, and His belly is the resting place for the materially annihilated living entities. His heart is the abode of the subtle material bodies of living beings. Thus, it is known by the intelligent class of men. Please repeat. The impersonal feature of the Lord is the abode of great oceans, and His belly is the resting place for the materially annihilated living entities. His heart is the abode of the subtle material bodies of living beings. Thus it is known by the intelligent class of men. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 8:17-18, it is stated that according to human calculations, one day of Brahma is equal to 1,000 ages of 4 millenniums. In parentheses, 4,300,000 years each. And the same period is calculated to be his night also. A Brahma lives for 100 such years and then dies. A Brahma, who is generally a great devotee of the Lord, attains liberation after such a downfall. The universe, called the Brahmanda, or the round football-like domain controlled by a Brahma, is thus annihilated, and thus the inhabitants of a particular planet or of the whole universe are also annihilated. Avyakta, mentioned here in this verse, means the night of Brahma, when partial annihilation takes place and the living entities of that particular Brahmanda up to the planets of Brahmaloka, along with the big oceans, etc., all repose in the belly of the Virata Purusha. At the end of Brahma's night, the creation again takes place, and the living entities reserved within the belly of the Lord are let loose to play their respective parts, as if being awakened from a deep slumber. Since living entities are never destroyed, the annihilation of the material world does not annihilate the existence of the living entities, but until liberation is attained, one has to accept one material body after another, again and again. The human life is meant for making a solution to this repeated change of bodies and thereby attaining a place in the spiritual sky where everything is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. In other words, the subtle forms of the living entities take place in the heart of the Supreme Being, and such forms take tangible shape at the time of creation. Om jnana timirandasya gyananjana shalaka chakshun militam jena tasmai sri gurave namah. Ukam guru deva chalam pangam lungayate girim jalkipata mahamande sri gurum dinatarnam. Paramananda maravam sri chaitanya ishvaram. So we've been hearing from Lord Brahma speaking to Narada about his description of the impersonal feature of the Lord, his Virata Rupa. And certainly it's a incredible feature of the Lord, and very difficult to comprehend how everything is contained within him, and yet he's outside of everything. It's quite interesting. Anor aniyam mahato mahiyan. The Lord is the greatest, right? He's, no one can compare. When you look, when you hear this description of the oceans and the planets and the living entities which inhabit, certainly it's quite incredible. But at the same time, atmasya jantur nihito guhayam, he's also there within the heart, with the living being. The Lord is outside of everything, and yet he's within everything. Quite astounding. And of course, the mundane philosophers and scientists, they're trying to do their best to try and figure this out with their tiny brains. And they come up with different concepts, right? Quantum mechanics, quantum physics, to try and understand something in its most smallest dimension. Or they have some theory of relativity where everything is included, and they try to understand by some mathematical idea. And then recently, isn't it, they have this string theory, how everything is connected by some unseen string or connection, which is all, again, it's all theory. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, klesho dikataraste-sham abhyakta-shatta-cetasam, that this unmanifested and impersonal feature of the Lord, to advance in that study is very troublesome. It's very difficult. Of course, we can understand that great jnanis and particularly jnanis, or even the Lord himself, he comes as Kapiladeva to propound this Sankhya philosophy whereby one analytically studies the creation and its functions. It can be known, but again, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's very troublesome to progress on this path for those who are embodied. Very difficult. And some puny scientist thinks that he can, with his teeny little brain, by some mathematical, by some numbers, by juggling some numbers, can understand how the universe is functioning. It's not possible. It's inconceivable. It's inconceivable. When we read these descriptions of how the great oceans are there, how the materially annihilated living entities are resting in his belly, how his heart is the abode of subtle material bodies of living beings, it's beyond their comprehension. Srila Prabhupada begins the purport here by pointing out how by human calculation, one day of Brahma is equal to 1,000 years or 1,000 ages of 4 millennium. In other words, what is that, 311 trillion, 40 billion years? It's inconceivable. It's beyond their estimation. It's just like the frog philosophy that we've heard, right? The frog in the well idea. So we may, with our tiny brains, try to understand how everything is going on in the creation, but it's beyond our conception. To ascend to understanding the absolute truth is not complete. We may get to a certain point, certainly. Science has given us some information, and they're very proud of it. They like to juggle words and create words that no one knows except them. Right? Their vocabulary is so jumbled up that if you try to understand what they're saying, you're lost or intimidated in the least. So, and again, all of it is just mental speculation. The Vedic literatures explain to us that Brahma lives for 100 such years and then dies and is generally a great devotee of the Lord. Of course, to attain that position is not easy. But even that position, as Prabhupada points out here, is considered a downfall. You can imagine what the spiritual world is if Lord Brahma, if Lord Brahma is a downfall. We can't imagine. Lord Brahma lives for such a long period of time. We can't fathom it. 311 trillion years, 40 billion years. It's beyond our understanding. But all of that, even though it's such a long period of time beyond our understanding, from the viewpoint of eternity, it's like a lightning flash. It's like a stroke of if you've ever seen a thunderstorm, when the lightning strikes, it's so quick. So, even though Lord Brahma's living such a long, long time, it's just a flash. It's just a flash. Although he's thinking that I've done so much in this life, it's just a flash. Just like the small little insect is thinking that, well, this, and he lives for a matter of hours. He's thinking of a whole life that he's achieved, so many accomplishments. I've done so many things. Just like we're thinking also, oh, that we've done so much. I've been on this planet for 20 years, 50 years, 80 years, 100 years. If you're lucky. And we've done so many things. But it's just a flash. It just goes in a moment. What to speak of such great personalities, Lord Brahma, and those perfected sannyasis who have achieved that abode. How exalted they are. But all of that, as Prabhupada mentions here, that it's all wound up. It winds up after a partial a devastation is there, after his night. And then the total annihilation when he leaves his body and he's promoted to the spiritual world. So all of this is taking place within the form, within the belly of the personality of Godhead. As Prabhupada points out here, all the living entities are reserved within the belly of the Lord, and then they're let loose to play their respective parts. It's just like a game of charades, right? Everybody, if you ever played charades, you put on a little act. It's just a play. It's not real. So this creation, this material world, is just like that. It's just a play. It's a charade. We're here for a short period of time, whatever, however many years it may be, even though we're in our mind, it's ooh, such a long period of time. It's like, I've been a devotee for 5 years or 10 years. Wow, what a long time. I was listening to one conversation. I can't remember where I heard this from. It was just recently. There was a comment by, I don't know if it was in a class or what, but anyway, it was someone was commenting how a devotee was thinking that after so many years, I think somebody was giving a class here, I can't remember, but I've been in the movement for so many years, it's been 3 years already, 5 years, and I haven't realized the universal form yet. As if it's such an easy game. This body is just a temporary vehicle that we happen to be stuck in. And at a certain time, we awake from that deep slumber within the body of the Lord and exhaled in the form of His perspiration, and there's millions and millions of universes, millions and millions of brahmas, unlimited living entities. And they go round and round, bhutva, bhutva, again and again, over and over and over. The living entities are never destroyed, as Srila Prabhupada points out here. So you can imagine there are just unlimited. Or how can you, we can barely imagine, conceive of it. The annihilation of the material world does not annihilate the existence of living entities. But until liberation is attained, one has to accept a material body, one after another, again and again. So, what to do? Prabhupada points out here, the human life is meant for making a solution to this repeated change of bodies. It's meant for making a solution to this. It's not that we just have to accept it. Oh, well, that's the way it is. And we have to die. And it's all over. And just do whatever. No. Instead, it's meant for understanding the absolute truth. Tasya vaheto prayate ito kovido. Nalabhyatantam upariyada. Talabhyate dukvaranyata sukam palena sarvatra gabira ranghasa. It's meant for at least those who are actually intelligent, I should say. Actually, those who are intelligent or philosophically inclined should understand, should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not attainable. Whether wandering from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, where you can live for such a long period of time, and Bhagavatamrita describes it so nicely, how one can travel to the highest abode, or whether it's to the lowest, Patala Loka. All these places, they afford some gratification, but one should strive for that which is not attainable in those places, and that's Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, pure love of Godhead. And it should be started right away, just like we have Abhay here, Komara Racharat Pragyo Dharam Bhagavatam here. He's a young Vaishnava, and he's learning so nicely. From the very beginning, one should strive for this, because this human form of life is very meaningful. It has a purpose. And even a slight endeavor, even a slight endeavor, you make the slightest endeavor to practice Krishna consciousness, you get the highest benefit. Whether it be offering a candle, whether it be sitting and looking at some transcendental pictures, or hearing, or tasting the foodstuffs of the Lord, even the slightest little thing, one will make untold benefit. We can't even imagine. So the human life is meant for making a solution to this. It's not that we just come here and just, oh, purushak prakriti stohi, we just follow the ways of material nature, go here, go there, well, we're going to go up here, we'll go down there. No. This is not the purpose. There's a very nice conversation between the Avadhut and King Yadu, where he describes that a sober person, a sober human, should quickly endeavor for perfection as long as his body has not fallen down and died. As long as his body hasn't fallen and become useless, one should endeavor for that, for perfection. Because sense gratification, we understand, and we've heard so many times, but it's good to hear. It's there even in the most abominable species, even the lowest creations. They can enjoy eating, sleeping, and everything else. But especially in this human form of life, we have a great opportunity, as Prabhupada points out here, thereby attaining a place in the spiritual sky where everything is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. One doesn't have to deal with all of the troubles and complications of this material world. In other words, the subtle form of the living entities take place in the heart of the Supreme Being, and such forms are tangible shape at the time of creation. So this description that we're hearing or seeing here given to us by Lord Brahma and then to Srila Prabhupada, these are not vague ideas, but they're concrete, and they're not speculation. And we should take it very seriously and not waste this human form of life. And what is it? Atmahana, killer of one's own soul. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. So, Asprey.
Thank you, Nakama, for a wonderful class. I just thought I'd make a comment because it just reminded me when I read something not too long ago where Prabhupada's saying in a lecture that one should endeavor for the highest goal in life, which is going back home, back to Godhead, because he says that everything is all fixed up already. Your happiness is fixed up. Your unhappiness is fixed up. Everything is fixed up. So one shouldn't endeavor for those things which are temporary. But one should use his intelligence to utilize his body for the highest goal of life, to go back home, back to Godhead. We should just try to remember that really we're not controlling anything, that whatever we have is what we deserve to get through our karma. And if we work for Krishna, we'll go back to Godhead. If we go back out and want to make some endeavor for enjoyment, you're creating another body. And that body will be fixed up, and there's no guarantee what it'll be. It could be a pig, could be a dog, a cat. There's no guarantee. You don't know. So we should aspire for that highest goal in life. So thank you for reminding me.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.